Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy, I forgot something.
What's up? Oh, yeah, we gotta time the audio and video.
Man, I was talking to your wife, so I came and you weren't here. No, yep. Nothing happened.
Okay.
Don't say it like, yeah, something happened. Nothing happened.
If my wife was there, something happened.
Man.
She's an eventful person.
But I told her, I was like, I've just been in a bad mood all day. And she's like, yeah, I woke up this morning and chose violence. I was like, what do you mean by that? She's like, I've just been in a bad mood all day and bitchy and moaning. I said, I have too. I said, I just got done chewing the Jackson County assessor guy's ass for 30 minutes in my front yard. I was like, yes, yes.
Did it solve anything? No. Did it make me feel good?
Yeah. Yeah. Last time I guess they were out was like 21 because I asked them. Totally different guys. You know, they subbed that stuff out before. So there's two guys now. Like a young guy that's been there like 2 months, and this old guy's been there like 5 years maybe. And he's got to be upper 60s, low 70s, right? So I'm asking him all these questions. And I mean, I am being a royal fucking asshole. Like I am like, this is bullshit. You know, all this different stuff. You guys are, you know, I know it's not you, it's your job, but you're perpetuating the problem by even working there. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally looked at one guy in the eye and I was like, I don't know how you fucking sleep at night.
Yeah.
I said, this is bullshit.
And he's like, make sure you go to Frank White's house and jack his up, too.
Yeah. I said, he was like, well, don't worry. It's only going to be a 15% cap now. I said, do you get a 15% raise every year?
Yeah.
Well, no. I said, well, fucking I don't either.
Right.
I said, what are you going to do when one of these 80-year-old men who has cancer, who's about to die, he's about to lose his house, or his wife's going to lose the house after he dies, and you roll up there, and he's like, you know what? Fuck these dudes.
Smoke them.
He's like, you know, to be honest, I've thought about that before.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's a peaceful protest on taxes.
Right.
Like, dude, it's ridiculous, man.
Mostly peaceful.
Yeah, mostly.
Fiery, but mostly peaceful.
Yeah, I just shot him in the leg instead of in the face. I mean, I'm going to be careful what I say, because I was kind of a dick, but... Like, I don't understand how people can be on the side of any government knowing that they're screwing people out of money. Like, even if it is just a job, how do you...
Do you see my Facebook post from like an hour ago?
No. How do you look yourself in the mirror when you're perpetuating the high tax situation in Jackson County?
Yeah. So today's tax day.
It drives me crazy, man.
Right? Today's tax day in America.
Yeah.
And
I pay mine early.
Yeah.
Paid all mine. I got lucky this year. I only owed 18.
We owed 29.
Yeah. We did well this year.
But so I did some super fast research, and the average American pays 29% in income tax.
Well,
income.
Yeah.
Not sales, not property, not county.
Yeah.
Income.
Yeah, they're really getting us for about 55-65%.
Yeah, not death, not real estate, income.
Okay, gotcha. Okay?
So the average American pays 29% in income tax, and if you were to take all the days of the year, today we are 29% of the way through the year.
Oh, are we really?
So here's your nice little reminder that as of today, every dollar you've made so far this year is going straight to the government.
Don't say shit like that. Like it makes my blood boil.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's complete horseshit, man.
Yep.
They have got to rein in taxes. Like Josh Hawley was calling for it, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
About we've got to start initiating some of the biggest tax cuts in history, or people are not going to be able to survive.
Dude, I'll say this. I am not a proponent of communism, by no means.
No.
But there are facets of communism where I'm like, that must be nice. For instance, controlling the media. If there was a way...
Dude, be careful, Nazi.
No.
You're going to get crushed for
right,
this.
Right. No, what I mean is like...
Careful.
So like the media with their headlines, they spit like, so like this guy from... The guy that was deported out of Maryland, he is not a Maryland resident, maybe temporary resident.
Yeah.
But the guy that got...
Yeah, he's in El Salvador now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the media's, the headline is Maryland man accidentally deported to prison camp in El Salvador. No, he's not a Maryland man. He's not a U.S. citizen. He's an El Salvadorian.
Yeah.
That went back to his home country, right? But like the ability to regulate the media to say, no, we're not calling this guy a Maryland man. Right.
Yeah.
Let's just call him what he is. And that was an MS-13 gang member.
Yeah.
So like you're acting like it's a quiet little peaceful husband and father in Maryland that was just ripped from his family. Like, no, he was an MS-13 gang member and a not non-citizen of the U.S.
I haven't followed it that much, but when I see he went to El Salvador and is in prison.
Yeah.
Like, how did he get in? Like, they don't just ship you straight to jail. Like, what happened? Like, you know what I mean? There's got to be backstory there, and people should immediately be like, okay, I need to look at this myself, look at the facts, and then make up my own mind. But they don't, like you're saying.
Right.
They see the one headline, and they're like, nope, this is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how it is. Trump's a piece of shit.
Well, and then,
or whoever fucking sent him.
And then... And this is the danger with all of that misinformation in the media, is then you get all these people in the comments that are riling each other up.
Oh, yeah.
These anti-Trump people, right? And they'll be like, well, if he can do that to that guy, he can do that to you.
No,
he's going to deport all citizens of the U.S. to El Salvador and prison camps.
Yeah, I love
the... He only pals around with communist leaders.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't accept the Bill of Rights and this. Well, first off, that is only applicable to U.S. citizens.
Right.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
What about due process? It doesn't matter.
He's not a citizen.
What's the due process of El Salvador? Because that's where he's at and that's where his citizenship is, right?
And I'm not going to say he shouldn't be here, shouldn't be there. I don't know enough about it. But you're right.
When his own president... The El Salvador president is in the White House, and they're talking about it to the press. And the press is like, you got to get him back. And Trump's like, I legally can't. He's not a U.S. citizen. I can't go to their country and take one of their citizens and bring them to the U.S.
No, I have to get approval.
Yeah.
We have to talk.
And so then the El Salvadorian president is in the White House saying, no, we're not even releasing him. The guy's a criminal.
I love it.
But of course, the news doesn't put that in the headline.
No, of course not.
The news puts Trump refuses to go get him. They don't put that Trump legally can't go get him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that would make Trump not look good.
And the headline says Maryland man accidentally deported. No, he wasn't a Maryland man, and he was not accidentally deported.
The motherfucker was deported.
Yeah. But that's how the media in politics work is... And you saw this the other way, right? You get 1 million people to get vaccines during COVID, and those in opposition to the vaccine are going to look for all of those one-off cases to prove their point, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not standing up for the vaccine or against it. I'm just saying that's the play.
Yeah.
You deport 500 illegals, and the media is going to go, okay, where's the one mistake?
Yeah.
Where's the one guy that's questionable on whether he should be deported or not? And they're going to run a whole story on the one guy.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, I would happily get rid of the one for the 500.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I'd run that bet every time.
Yeah.
And if like you don't get in that position, guilt by association, right? You don't get in that position unless you're in some murky area anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're in the gray water, like.
Right. You're and all the Democratic politicians have found ways to change the definition of what is a legal resident in the U.S.
They've been working on that for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now.
They're an undocumented immigrant. No, that means they're an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to sugarcoat this.
Yeah.
If you are here in the U.S. and you don't have documentation, you are in the U.S. illegally. You are an alien to this country and an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Like, no beating around the bush. No point in sugarcoating the words and trying to make it sound nicer. But they do it on purpose because now they're an immigrant. right? Now they're now it's just an undocumented immigrant, right? It's like that's like getting a DUI and being like, well, it's not that my blood alcohol content was too high. It's that my alcohol to blood content was too low.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have enough blood for the alcohol I drank. That's
I had given blood that day. That's why. It's not that I didn't drink too much.
Yeah. Or like saying, sir, you can't give me a speeding ticket for going 170 in a 50. Because if I'm going 170, I can't see that 50-mile-an-hour speed limit sign. I can't read it. So therefore, I'm exempt. Right? Like they come up with all these weird ways to lie with language. Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah, we did that. When did we talk about that? Was that two shows ago? Lying with language was the last show.
We talk about it a lot because it's very prevalent now.
Well, for some reason, and I think about it a lot, like how did we get to this point in the media? Like
freedom.
Okay.
I mean, I'm serious. Like,
no,
with
I know.
Freedom comes chaos. So, like, we ask for this when we want freedom.
Yeah. But it just, like, we know that back in the day, the media was manipulating people a little bit. Like, you know, just, and the government wasn't telling us everything. They still don't now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how has it come to a head where it's so extreme on both sides and that people are just comfortable knowing that they're being lied to and they don't care? Is it ignorance through bliss?
Yeah.
Is it like, what is it? Are people so comfortable in their American lives that they're just like, whatever?
Well, it's like I
can't antiquate it to anything.
So about a year ago, I shared a picture of two lions. One was on a prairie. In Africa, in the plains.
One's in jail.
And then one's in a
zoo
enclosure.
Yeah.
And it says one of these lions has access to free healthcare, free food, free lodging, free everything.
Yeah.
The other one has freedom.
Yeah.
What do you want? Right?
Yeah. And the people at PETA, when they see that, their little heads explode.
Right.
But I want the lion to be out. But we want free health.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
And there's really no right answer to it, right? Some people.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Some people want to be in prison. It's structure. It's three squares a day. What I mean?
Well, some people want
to be homeless.
Clipping my mic. Some people want to live in an apartment where they're not responsible for anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like jail, but you're free to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this tiny little dingy, nasty little apartment,
mm-hmm.
you know, but everything's taken care of. You don't have to worry. When you're in there, you're safe. It's all fine. There's no, you know, extreme overhead of possibilities from owning a home mm-hmm. and all that. The problem is, they want everyone to be like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, if we were all like this, the world would just be a great little place.
And that's why with freedom comes chaos.
Well, and that's why we're the lions that want to be outside.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be outside and do my own thing. And like, I don't want to be told what to do. Like, get the fuck out of my way, man.
Yeah. And if you want to be inside, that's great. Don't try to convince me that inside is better. And I'm not going to try to convince you that outside is better.
Yeah. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
It's like, we all want to coexist, but I can't coexist under your rules, and you don't want to coexist under my rules. So just let me be me, and I'll let you be you, and you just shut your fucking mouth all the time.
It's the definition of coexist.
They don't know that.
We don't have to be friends. We don't have to be pals.
No.
We don't have to help each other out.
No.
We can exist in the same place.
Yeah. I will let whoever do whatever, however. I don't care. Just leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
That's all I really want. I want like five friends, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of the way, man.
Yep.
But no, it's like this constant bombardment of bullshit constantly.
Ah!
So what?
Today's topic.
Okay.
Is...
Are we going to actually talk about something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So today's topic is going to be...
A couple space cadets
about,
today.
Things that you can do in the business when things get scary lean, when things get tight, when work dries up, right? We have a lot of people right now that work is drying up. And the main reason why, especially the plumbers that listen to this show, is plumbing is semi-discretionary. In other words, that leaking toilet, you can fix it today, tomorrow, or next week, or next month, right?
Yes.
And so you have that, but then also with plumbing, the everyday homeowner has access to make all those plumbing repairs themselves.
Well, especially the minor repairs.
Yeah.
I can handle the minor repair.
Right. And so when the economy is thriving and money is flowing everywhere and things are good, then people are like, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. Call the plumber. But when things are tight, everyone goes through this evaluation process of, okay, what can we not spend money on right now?
What
right?
are our needs
yeah.
versus what are our wants?
Right.
It's a constant reevaluation, especially like you said, when money's really tight.
Yeah.
Like we do it in our own personal lives.
We've done this in our own personal lives for our whole lives.
Yeah.
Right. When you and I lived together in an apartment and we were scrapping for rent, it's like, okay, we're not going out to the bars. We got rent to pay.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you
like,
want to do? Let's get some Natty Light.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
get some Natty Light and order some Casey's Pizzas.
It's $12.99. Okay. That's what we're doing.
But like, so this is nothing new. We're not reinventing the wheel here, but customers do that. And so therefore businesses have to do it because when the customers start doing it more, then the business volume drops. And so yes, there's 1,000 things each individual business could do to try to create an uptick in work. They could change their marketing. They could get more involved in their community. They could do all these things. That's all area specific. It's all niche specific. It's all the type of business you do, the type of person you are. There's a lot of things at play there.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about kind of the back end things. And there's a really good book that you can read called Profit First that kind of changes your mindset around how all this stuff works. And the idea of the book Profit First is the general high overarching idea is you build a budget around your business and then you divide the income into the budget. The premise of this book is actually to flip your mindset around money. In other words, most people, they sell their goods and services, they pay their bills, and whatever they have left over is profit.
Yeah. That's the general way to think about it.
Yeah. The Profit First book goes the other way. The first bill you pay is your profit account. And so if you want 20% net profit in your business, you take 20% of your monthly revenue and you move it into your profit account.
Yeah. And then as that money dwindles down, you figure out a way to stretch it.
No. Then what's left?
I'm saying
80%.
The 80% that's left, you
gotta
figure
pay
out
the
a
bills
way
with the 80.
To make that 80 stretch. That's what
right.
I mean.
Right. And so when that happens, things get interesting because now you're treating your profit account like it's a vendor and it's your most important vendor. And really it should be. I mean, that's the whole reason we're all in business is for profit, right? And so they use an analogy in that book that is the tube of toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
We have toothpaste in our drawers in our bathrooms, right? And we're all willy-nilly with that shit until it runs out.
Yeah.
And then
we're tight as shit with that last little quarter of a tube.
It's crazy how strong our fingers can get and how interesting of origami shapes we can make with that thing while we're trying to squeeze the last few drops out.
Yeah.
You're standing on it. You got it in a bench vise.
I do it.
Cutting it open, whatever the case may be, right?
Okay, I'm not cutting it open with a pair of scissors.
But what I'm saying is, like, we all do it, right? When a toilet paper roll is fresh on the roll, you might be a little bit more liberal with that yank, right? But when you look at the roll and it's got just a few wraps left on it, you're like folding it and I got to make this count. And
yeah, damn it, man. It
changes your pattern, right?
I meant to send you a picture today. The shop bathroom in my shop, I didn't change the roll. I just set it on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to wash my hands and I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to send it to Mitch. And I totally forgot right now. Damn it.
And so the idea of profit first is pay your profit account first. And then if you don't have enough money, then it's your other vendors that suffer, not your profit account. Your profit account never suffers, right? Now, obviously, that's a short-term solution. You know, you got to get your pricing right. You got to get your work volume right. There's a lot of other things at play there.
Yeah, you can't do that 60 days into business, 6 months into business.
Right.
Because you don't even know where you're putting money.
Right.
It's more of a mental exercise than an actual, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
For the first.
And most accountants hate that book, by the way, because it, yeah. that book really gets you, I mean, it gets you four or five different bank accounts, and your accountant doesn't like reconciling all those.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it that way either. What it really does, and what the point is that you have to know what you're really spending your money on mm-hmm. and what's important to you to keep the doors open yeah. if you're going to make the 20% said profit.
Yeah.
That's what really the point of the book is.
Yeah.
Or the idea.
Yeah. And so where this comes in is like there are times in business where, so what we're talking about is cash flow. And there are times, cash flow is the amount of surplus money moving around in a business at any given point.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are, when you hear people talking about taking jobs just for the cash flow, what they mean by that is it's not a profitable job, it's a cash flowing job. And so David's referred to it before on the show as just paying wages.
Yeah, you're making paychecks for everybody.
Yeah, and so, for instance, if a job is really a $12,000 job, but we're going to do it for 10 grand, and we typically run a 20% profit, that means we're not profiting anything on the job. But we're taking the job because it's going to provide 10 grand and allow me the 10 grand to pay my guys and pay material and keep the lights on and everything else.
Yeah.
It's a cash flowing job.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big commercial accounts that are cash flowing jobs because what spins out of those cash flowing jobs are profit jobs. HVAC has a lot of cash flowing opportunities with maintenance. Maintenance is typically a cash flowing position. But if you do enough maintenance on enough units, you get the opportunity to sell new units, and that's where you make your money.
Yeah, you're losing money on those.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah, and it's a balance, 24/7.
Yeah, it's to create opportunities.
And
leader, as they say.
Yeah, there are times where you're going to have profitable jobs stacking up left and right, and you think you're invincible, right? And what's the famous quote from Blow?
When you're up, you're up.
When you're up, it's never as good as it seems, and when you're down, you never think you're going to be up again.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that from Blow?
Yep. And so...
said the guy who's never done any hard drugs in his life.
Never once.
Memorized that movie, though.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's a great film.
And so what happens is there are times where you go through a lot of profitable jobs and you get this false sense of security of like, oh, I got this. Oh, we're good at this.
Yeah.
And then you come into a season that you weren't expecting, or a season hangs on longer than you were expecting, or it's deeper or harder than you were expecting. And so now you're like, oh, shit. And so now you're having to find cash flowing jobs and everything else. And when you're down, it never seems like you're going to be up again, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to share. So we just went through a cash flow tight season in my company. And we knew it was coming. You could tell it was coming. For us, it seemed to surround the election. And then I thought it was going to ease up by the inauguration. And it didn't.
We've all been wrong about that part.
Yeah. And that's because the media just will not let Trump win. Right? And he's kind of created this for himself when he calls them all fake news and everything else, which they are.
Yeah,
but
I will say this, like he still has that edge, but compared to his last term,
yeah,
it's like nothing.
Yeah.
So just let the guy do his fucking job.
Right, right. But like whenever he comes out with a policy that's good for America, but the media slights it and changes the narrative, the media is literally putting words in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And because the media knows that most people only read the headline and not actually read the story, then the media tries to tell the story they want to tell with the headline. It's no different than when we started this show. Maryland man wrongly deported to El Salvador, yeah. Right? No, he wasn't a Maryland man, and he wasn't wrongly deported.
No.
Right?
See you, dude.
Yeah. But what's everybody hear? They hear the headline.
Yeah.
Right? And so because of that, because the media won't let Trump win, you know, when Trump announced the tariffs and the stock market dropped, every media outlet was running 4 stories an hour. Worst day on the stock market since this. And fourth worst day on the stock market since this. And does Trump know what he's doing? And, you know, all this stuff, right? And they're just creating tons of doubt. Well, what happened the very next day?
When the sumbitch went right like 2,000 points up.
Fourth best single day in the stock market since World War II.
Yeah. You know what?
Did you hear about it?
Nope.
No, right?
Nope.
So
I posted about it.
Oh, well, most rightful people did. But so what happens then is those people that blindly follow the media, those people that love to live in apartments and have everybody else make decisions for them, right? Yeah. Those types of people heard stock market crash and never heard best day ever.
No.
And so the image of the president for those types of people is this is bad. This is doom. This is gloom.
Yeah, they're still living as if it hasn't bounced back.
Right.
They're still thinking and believing in their little world
yeah.
that it's over. The world is ending.
And they're allowing one deported person with questions around his deportation to classify their entire opinion on should we deport illegal aliens.
Yeah.
Right? And like, there's going to be accidents, right? It's just, it happens.
Yeah.
We've all made mistakes, and these guys running our government are no different. They make mistakes too. They could have the best of intentions. They're still going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Even if you're batting 99%, that means one out of every 100 people, you're going to wrongly deport.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you need to stop, because there's still 99 people that need to go. We'll make it right. We'll fix the one.
Yeah.
But get the 99 out of here, right?
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like they don't even let anyone explain, like, are they trying to make this right, that right?
Yeah.
They blanket coverage it, and yep. that's it.
Yeah.
There are no facts that are brought to light. Nothing.
Yep. So I want to share something that happened in my own business recently. You guys have heard me talk about we use an Amex Express, American Express,
Trade
Platinum.
Tradewinds does too. Love the Amex.
And they're a great benefit. However, last week I had a 1 hour and 45 minute conversation with them on the phone. And
we usually pre-game. We have not pre-gamed
nope.
this. I'm very intrigued at what you're going to say.
Yeah, so our Amex Platinum has no limit.
Nope. I don't think any of them do, except for the cashback ones.
Yeah. Now, it does have, it's designed to put everything on the card and then pay it off every month.
Yes.
That's what it's designed for. It does have a $50,000 carryover limit. Okay? So what that means is if, let's say I put 30 grand on the card this month and I don't have the money to pay it off. I don't pay it. I just pay a minimum payment.
30 goes to
30
the next
goes
month.
To the 50 capped carryover, right? And they're making okay. their interest payments, but I do have a limit on the carryover. As long as I
yeah,
pay the
they
bill
all
off,
have a carryover limit.
Yeah.
Unless you're Richie Rich.
Yeah, but like the difference between an Amex and like a normal Visa or MasterCard or whatever is a Visa might just have a $50,000 limit, which means you can't swipe that thing for 51 grand.
No.
It'll decline.
Yes.
The American Express Been is there. Truly unlimited. But
yes.
it does allow you to carry 50 grand over
yes.
month to month, okay? So as things were getting lean and we were kind of trimming things down and I was preparing for hard times, so I essentially...
When did this... Give me a date. January 15th?
No.
February 15th?
October, November.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. I started posturing for getting as lean as I possibly could for 25.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Okay.
And the logic there was, I'm going to be lean, and that way if shit hits the fan, I'm ready. And if shit doesn't hit the fan, well, then we're just going to be profitable sons of bitches. Okay?
I like it.
And so I started propositioning and posturing and preparing for that. And so we do that. Well, then I want to say it was probably December. Yeah, December. December got pretty lean for us. And so we typically spend about $25,000 to $30,000 a month on our Amex.
Okay.
We run all of our bills through it, and we just pay it off every month.
Yeah. It's nice. And, it's convenient.
And as our bank account was getting to a point where it's like, I don't really want to go below that. I like the protection there. It's like, I have this $50,000 carryover with Amex. I'm going to use it. I got the cash in the bank to pay it.
I'm going to use it in case I need that cash.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lean on the $50,000 carryover.
You're going to give yourself a buffer.
Because I want my capital, right?
Yeah.
And so we leaned on it a little bit in December, and we leaned on it a little bit in January. We did not lean on it in February, okay?
Okay.
And so
you paid everything off in February? Is that what you're telling me?
Paid everything off in February,
okay.
Yes.
Got it. I like it.
So
you paid the bill you got?
Yes.
Okay.
So March comes around, and at this point, we have... I want to make sure I get my numbers right here.
You want a pen?
No. So March comes around, and we have about $30,000 in carryover on the Amex.
Still on there.
Still on there.
So you paid everything that was due, but not the carryover.
Correct.
Okay.
And so we have about $30,000 in carryover. And again, the idea was, let's get through these. Like, January is always a hit or miss month. Depends on weather. February is always a hit or miss month. Depends on weather. March, April, May are usually really good months for us. And so the logic there was, let's just ride the carryover and use that. That's a benefit to us, right?
Yeah, March or April, we'll pay all that stuff off and start fresh.
Let's use the benefit. We got the money in the bank, and we're just rolling with it, right?
Okay, I mean, I don't like it because I don't do that. But I understand the logic. And to be honest, like, shit has been so bad.
Yeah.
From November, December, January, I don't blame you for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things you have to...
Yeah.
You have to deal with.
Well,
it
and
happens.
I'm using a tool that I have in my toolbox.
Yeah.
Right? The Amex is a tool.
Yeah. It
and
happens.
I'm using a piece of the tool that I don't usually use, and that's that $50,000 carryover. So last Monday, I get an email from Amex, and it's got a charge on there for $19. And,
okay.
And it says, we just wanted to let you know that we went ahead and approved this charge. But if you don't pay a nice size payment, you're probably not going to get any charges approved going forward.
And you're like, what
the fuck?
And I'm
like, well, this is weird because I'm not anywhere near our 50 limit. And we're unlimited on the month-to-month stuff. And the amount of money they wanted was $33,000.
Mm.
And
well, I didn't get a phone call, so apparently you weren't too worried.
And so I'm like,
Dave, I need some cash.
That is weird. Well, the carryover amount was about $33,000.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought, maybe this is Amex, like, we haven't leaned on the carryover amount ever before, and now we have. And also, to another thing that happened in this is we finally got Ferguson I used to pay with electronic funds transfer. Yeah. Wire it straight from my bank.
Yeah, EFT, got it.
I finally got Ferguson to accept Amex. So now I can get points on my parts bill.
Nice.
Yeah. So
flights, baby.
March was the first month where Ferguson hit the Amex. And so Amex.
Gotcha.
Amex sees a carryover that hasn't usually historically been there. And Amex sees an increased spending behavior that hasn't usually been there. And so I know all this. And so I get the email and I'm like, okay, they just want good faith money. They've seen us carry over, which we haven't done before. And they've seen us now.
Yeah.
Put like an extra $10,000 a month on the card.
This dude is about to get into us for some serious cash and fold.
Exactly.
That's why they're,
And so I'm like, cool, I get it. We've got it. I was prepared for this.
Yeah, I'll
call. Pay it off.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Mitch Smedley.
So
Smedley Plumbing.
I did run the risk, and I'm like, okay, we'll see where this goes. Sure enough, the very next charge that went through got declined.
Why did you run that risk? Just to see?
Just to see.
You were curious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the email didn't demand the money. It just said, we suggest you make this payment. And so I'm like, well, let's see how strongly they suggest it, right?
Let's see how they're feeling.
And so
today.
They declined. I went to go pay a $7,000 bill with the Amex, and they declined it.
Okay. First off, you probably should have picked something small, like $50 of gas, like something, dude.
And so luckily, I'm standing in this guy's office to pay this bill. And
did you look him in the face and go, hey, if this gets declined,
I warned him.
Do not panic because I'm testing Amex.
Do you remember last Monday morning we were on a coaching call and I said, well, that's weird. Amex just tried to call me. I need to take this call. We were on a coaching call because I had to put it on
mute.
Was that
Monday?
Yeah.
That would have been yesterday.
No, 2 Mondays ago. This was last week. But anyway, Amex called me.
It was Monday afternoon.
Maybe.
Because we had Joe and then, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Monday afternoon is when they called me. And so Tuesday was when I was trying to pay the $7,000 bill and it got declined. And so I'm standing in this guy's office to pay the $7,000 bill. And before he even swipes the card, I'm like, I'll be honest with you. So I got like a funny email that kind of worried me. And then Amex tried to call me. But then whenever I picked up the phone, it like hung up on me. So if this declines, like, I'm just, don't freak out. Like, I got to call them. But it's Amex. Like, you know, we're good for it. And the guy's like, yeah, we're good. They too had been, I think Amex may have had a policy change because their business runs on Amex and they too had been getting some kind of interesting emails. And
did
so they were like,
did you know this guy? I'm just curious.
Not very well.
Okay.
No. But so it declines. And I said, cool, let me go call them real quick. They sent me this email yesterday saying they suggest I pay $33,000. And so I said, okay, cool. And he was like, dude, I already got your card info and its thing automatically sent you an email, like the way their CRM works. And he was like, because we deal in big amounts, like declines happen.
Yeah.
He says, you don't even need to come back in. He says, call Amex, get it all squared away. And
then
just
call me.
You can just pay. No, you can just hit pay on the invoice. There's one click.
Oh, digital. Gotcha.
It's already got your card info in it. So you just hit click and it'll run and it'll be good.
No big deal.
And I'm like, cool. And he goes, don't worry. We got you. Like this shit happens. And I'm like, I know. So I call Amex and I pay him the $33,000.
They laugh.
No questions, no nothing exchanged. No
Mitch,
nothing.
Who?
So I pay him the $33,000 and then we run the $7,000 and it's no big deal. Friday.
This is continuing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Friday.
You know, normally it's not just like storytelling hour, but I kind of like it. Okay,
Friday.
Change it up a little bit.
I get an email from Amex that says, hey, we just got this charge for like $28 and we went ahead and approved it. However, we suggest you make a payment of $18,000 if you want us to keep approving more. And I'm like, hold up. You just asked for $33,000 on Monday outside of our billing cycle.
Is this an email or a phone call? Okay.
It's an email.
So you're getting ready to call them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an email. And now they want $18,000. They just asked for $33,000 on Monday. And I paid them the $33,000 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then here 4 days later, they're asking for $18,000, right?
Okay.
And so I call them up. And this is where the kind of calamity ensues. And essentially what it is they run on algorithms, and their algorithm saw a carryover behavior that it hadn't seen before, and their algorithm saw an increased spending pattern that they hadn't seen before.
Yeah, $10,000 a month more
my parts
now.
Bill,
yeah,
going to them, right? And so their algorithm determined that they didn't like me having that much of a carryover in alignment with the increased spending habit.
Yeah, their business risk for having you as a client
set
off some bells and whistles.
And so, I get it, right? I totally get it. So I call them up and I'm like, hey, I need to understand the black and white. I need to understand what actions trigger these kinds of demands.
Yeah.
I'm trying to run a business that where I lean on Amex and I lean on the carryover from time to time.
No, one time.
What, I know, but like I have the ability to lean on the carryover and then I pay once a month, right? But here, now 3 times in 1 month, I've had to pay you money. I paid during the normal billing cycle.
Yeah.
And then
33.
And then
now you want 18.
Impromptu want 33 and now you impromptu want 18. And I said, I just need to understand what causes this because as I'm, you know, trying to use my American Express to my advantage and use it to grow my business, I need to know when I'm going to get sprung with $51,000 in you owe me this now in 4 days.
Yeah.
Right? And so the lady on the phone, she's very helpful.
Amex people are usually great.
She's super helpful, but
she doesn't
know the triggers. And so essentially all I could get out of her was, if the algorithm determines an increased level of carryover and an increased level in spending, it's going to want to shut you down until it can see proof of ability to pay.
So it wants to see that same consistent behavior for 8 months of you paying 6 months. I'm just pulling that number out of my ass before it will then turn those triggers off.
Don't know. So not what she won't tell me that.
Well, she may not know because right. She doesn't know the algorithm. I'm just speculating that that's probably how it works.
Yeah. And so, you know, I told her, I said, you know, Monday was kind of an inconvenience to be out of the blue like that and to just out of the blue demand $33,000 and you shut off my Amex. Because now that I have things tied to the Amex, it's not like I'm choosing to swipe the Amex on a lot of stuff.
No, they're automatic payments.
It's automatic payments, yeah. Right?
And so, there may be a Tuesday where 15 automatic payments go through that aren't a lot, $50, $60, $120, whatever.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, boom, yeah. You're behind on all those bills.
Exactly.
Shit.
And so I said, you know, that was a big inconvenience, but I get it. This Friday email, like, we got to get to the bottom of this. What triggers these emails and, like, tell me how to prevent this? And she couldn't really tell me. All she could just say is it's a combination of the amount carried over and it's a combination of the spending limit. And I said, okay, what was our carryover amount? And she says $33,000. And I'm like, yeah, I paid that on Monday. So we have no carryover. And she goes, well, we don't know that yet.
Oh, because the check hadn't gone through.
No, it had gone through.
Oh, the system hadn't picked it up yet.
They don't know if I'm going to carry over again this month. Did I pay off the carryover and then I'm just going to re-carry over another 30? Right?
Well, I mean, what is the fucking difference?
I know.
If you don't want to provide that service, then don't provide the service. But if you say you're going to allow carryover, you have to allow it every month.
Right. And so then it got into this kind of arbitrary thing. They never really, whenever they asked for the 33 on Monday, they never really said what it was going for. They never said if it was going towards carryover or last month's bill.
Oh, half of last month's bill and the whatever was left was carryover. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so then come to find
out. Did you get an invoice that said this went towards this? You had to have got some kind of receipt.
Their receipts are not all that clear. They become clear when you have somebody on the phone explaining it to you. But their receipt, like...
I've never used carryover, so I don't know how that would show. All I know is Amex, and it looks like a regular credit card statement.
It looks weird when you get carryover. It looks real weird.
It's like your mortgage interest. What the kinda. Fuck is going on here?
And so I said, okay, so the amount of carryover was 33. Well, I just paid 33 on Monday. And she goes, well, that didn't really go to the carryover. And so because you still have a high carryover, that triggered the other email. And I'm like, well, why couldn't I make that go to carryover? Well, it just doesn't.
What do you mean it just doesn't?
It's their way. They're getting interest on the carryover.
Yeah.
So they're going to definitely apply that money to the non-interest bearing stuff first.
Oh, so if you owed 10 and you wrote them a check for 33,
10 would go to last month's charges.
23 went to the carryover and exactly. You still had 13 of carryover.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's carryover.
And we run an average of about $30,000 a month on the card.
Yeah. Right. Well, now 40.
Now 40.
Yeah.
Right. And so actually it was about 20 and then now 30. Is really where it is.
Gotcha.
So
I'd get you a Cabela's card and put just Ferguson on that. Dude,
maybe.
Get guns and ammo and shit.
So then as I'm talking with them on the phone, I'm like, this is crazy. We have the $50,000 to carry over. I'm leaning on that.
Yeah.
And
I'm playing by the rules.
By your rules, right? Yeah. And now just out of the blue, in 4 days, you've called and demanded $51,000 from me.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Like, that's a very difficult thing to swallow as a business.
Yeah. What if I don't have the 51,000?
Well, and so we paid the 33 and that got us cash strapped a little bit. And now they want 18. And so I flat told them, I mean, they don't know how much is in my bank account, but the lines that I was using to them to try to get information out of them was like, look, you're a vendor for me. I pay vendors money, right?
Yeah.
You're a vendor for me. You're a bank. You're a banking institution.
Yeah.
You owe me concrete info as to where my money's going and like you're explanation for all of this. Because I can't afford for you to be able to randomly send me bills throughout the month that I'm not prepared for.
Yeah, it's a 30-day cycle. Let's go.
Right. And I need the consistency of the 30-day cycle, right? Because in the off hours of that 30-day cycle, so at day 15, maybe the lump sum of cash in my bank account's going to other shit that's on a 30-day cycle.
Yeah.
And so then the next 15 days, the money I raise goes to the Amex that's on its 30-day cycle, right? And
you know, you knew those rules going into it.
Yes.
It's not like you changed them. You're like, okay, I know this is going to happen. So when I get this money, I can pay that. When I get this money, I'm going to pay that. And all my bills are going to be paid on time.
Right.
And we're all going to be kosher. It's
exactly.
Fantastic.
And then
get a spitball.
They throw me for this loop with this 33 and then 18 demand. And so, it was an hour, over an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes on the phone with them. And
I'm going to need to speak to your supervisor, please.
40 minutes of it was being on hold while they were trying to ask other people and everything else. And I'm like, what happens if I don't give you the 18 that you're asking? Well, we can't guarantee that any other charges are going to go through. But am I near my limit? No, sir. Your card's unlimited. Okay. Am I near my limit on the carryover? No, but you're encroaching on that limit. Okay. So I have no limit, and I'm not near my limit on the carryover. But you're just going to shut down my card here's the catch. They say they said, sir, the reason we're doing this is because we've seen a pattern of increased spending and increased carryover.
Yeah.
And we need to know that you have the ability to repay. And I said, okay, how much have I paid you this month? And they were like, well, about 60. Well, maybe, no, it was about 50.
Have I ever been late?
And I said, okay, hold on. So I paid you my normal about 20 grand because I paid the monthly expenses off. And then I paid you the 33.
Yeah.
So I've paid you about 50 already. You're telling me you've seen a pattern of increased carryover and increased spending. You're completely ignoring the pattern of increased payments.
Yeah.
I said, can you look at my record and tell me, what month I've paid you the most? Oh, it's this month by far. Okay, what do you mean? Well, you paid 20 and then you paid 33. So it's about 53 grand that you've paid us this month so far. Yeah. And so why are you shutting my card down? Well, because we've seen an increased spending pattern and an increased carryover pattern without an increased repayment pattern. And I'm like, but you literally just told me
that you
recognize that I've paid you more this month than ever.
Yeah. That's an increase in payment pattern.
Yeah.
You dumbass.
Yeah. And so we went round and round and round, and ultimately they could never, ever tell me what triggers those emails.
I guarantee you they just implemented a new algorithm and a new way to handle things, and now everyone in this office is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do. That's exactly what's happened.
And so
I guarantee it, man.
My words to them were, this is really scary as a business owner. Because I'm using your product as it's designed to be used. And you're making killer money on me. My annual fee for Amex. Plus, you're now making interest on this carryover. So I'm a good consumer for you. But now you're being a bad vendor for me by making these demands outside of the cycle. And then I said, what's also very, very frustrating is nothing large has happened between Tuesday and today. Yes, I had that $7,000 payment. But when we're talking about 20 and 30 grand every month, 7,000 is not that big of a deal.
No.
Right? And I said, nothing worldly large has happened between Tuesday and today, except I've paid you more money now than I ever have before, and you've sent me this email twice demanding money. I said, what if I give you the 18 today? Where's my guarantees that you don't send me another one of these emails next week saying I need 12,000 more?
Yeah. I wonder if part of it too is like the economy's down. People are putting a ton of money on their credit cards. I wonder if they're starting to get stretched.
Could be.
And they're realizing, hey, we have to kind of rein in some of this spending.
This could be a lever they have to pull for their FDIC.
That's what I'm saying.
Rules, right?
Maybe
they have to have so much cash in the bank to cover their debt.
Maybe people are running those cards up and they've got too much out there.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But
It's you very wanna, possible.
Like it's really interesting to come out of probably the three most difficult months I've had in business.
March was good. Other than this part.
March was good.
Other than this part.
Yeah. And this is all April stuff. Anyway.
I always think quarterly.
Yeah. March was good, but December, January, February were tough. And so to come off of those 3 months of the hardest months in business and then
have unexpected payments in the
last
due.
Well, in the last 7 days, I've written $90,000 in checks.
That's tough.
Taxes, Amex, you know, all these things. And so it's just interesting to where, I mean, on one hand, I can be frustrated because they're not upholding their end of the deal. And I'm sure somewhere in the fine print, it says they can do this.
Of course. They're not idiots. Of course they can.
Now, would I understand the paragraphs to read that? Probably not.
No.
It's probably written in such legal speak that I would never have an idea, right?
Yeah.
But when they present you with an offering of an unlimited credit card and then a $50,000 carryover, and then as you start to use the $50,000 carryover, it affects your unlimited status. And this is how you find out about it. That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. If you were actually in a real spot where you didn't have that cash, because say you did a big commercial job, mm-hmm. and you're like, they're paying me next Friday.
Yep.
And they call you on Monday, and you don't have that money.
Yep.
But you have other jobs that week you have to buy material for. And now all of a sudden you're scrambling.
You got
to
get creative.
What do we do?
Right, right.
I'm going to call Dave and ask him for some cash. Like, I would give you the money, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, you just have to, sometimes you have to get creative.
Yeah.
Man, and that's that could have been a bad curveball.
Well, and so
if you hadn't been prepared.
The scenario I gave them was, okay, Monday, out of the blue, you send me this email. Tuesday, I send you $33,000. Friday, out of the blue, you demand another $18,000. What if all I got's left is $18,000?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I know they don't give a fuck.
I know, but I said, let's just run this hypothetical for a second. If all I got left is 18 or 20 and I give you the 18 and then you come and I have to give you the 18, otherwise you're going to shut my card off.
Yeah.
Well, then let's say next week you come and ask for another 10 and I don't have 10. And so you shut my card off next week. Well, I'd rather you shut my card off right now and I keep my 18 in the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck you.
Because I can use that 18 to go buy material, to go do more work, to pay off.
Yeah, because even if they send you to collections and blah blah blah, they're talking 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep in mind I'm still not in violation of any of their policies. I've never missed a payment.
Yeah.
I've never been late on a payment, right? Nothing like that. I've been a wonderful steward to Amex.
Steward.
And so, you know, I told that lady on the phone, I'm like, "Look,
this poor girl,
this,
like, just..."
We weren't yelling.
No,
never.
I'm just saying, she doesn't know, and she has no answers.
Yeah.
And you know she's sitting in that little cubicle at her desk, and she's like, "I understand what this guy's saying, but there's nothing I can do."
Right.
"And I want to help him." And it's like her third day.
Yeah.
She's just fucking losing her shit.
Yep.
Ugh.
And so,
fuck,
you know,
this guy.
Part of the time I was on hold was because I was going to them and saying, "I want a guarantee from you that you're not going to shut my card off before the next billing cycle. I'm not in default.
Yeah.
I'm not anything.
Yeah.
I'm literally using your product as you've told me how to use it, and now you're not liking it.
Yeah.
And I can't afford these random things."
God,
right?
I just had to give the credit card authorization for Vegas. Oh, man, I hope I don't get some weird shit with that.
Maybe. But
sure.
So essentially I didn't even pay him the full 18. I paid him 10 instead of 18. And the logic there was, I'm going to force them to meet in the middle somewhere. They're asking for this outside
feeling
of,
like, you gained some leverage. Like, I'll give you something.
Not that. It's more or less just working on my position. If I get another one of these outside the billing cycle.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, you asked for 33, I gave you the 33. You asked for 18, I gave you 10. And so now...
Yeah, we should be set for my next regular monthly bill that comes in the fucking mail, and I will pay it like I always have.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and I explained to her, I said, our logic with allowing some carryover was, and we were monitoring all of this, we track all of this, was We're going to use the carryover for what it is so we can keep cash in the bank because cash is king. We're going to use the carryover for what it is.
And make sure we make payroll.
And then once March hits, we're going to start chunking $10,000 extra a month at the carryover. And then it gets paid off.
Yeah.
Right? And so if the carryover is 30 grand, well, then it's going to take us 3 months, three billing cycles, but we'll pay all of last month's bills on the Amex and an extra 10 grand towards the carryover. And we do that 3 months in a row, and the carryover's paid off.
Back to zero, summer's here, we're making money.
And we're back to zero, and my checking account never got scary low, right?
Yeah.
Well, they basically sped that three-month process up into 4 days.
I mean, like, let's be honest, it's behind you now.
It's behind, right?
Yeah, so it's like, exactly. Yes, it was a difficult situation. Yes, it was probably stressful. Yes, it may have strapped you a little bit, but it's over. Now you don't have to think about it for 3 months.
Right.
It's over.
Right. And so the reason I'm talking about it here is I'm not even really bitching at Amex because they still did honor their product. It's just it was a less than professional communication, right? That'd be like if I borrowed money from you and yeah. I said, hey, can I borrow $5,000 for a month?
And then I come back 10 days later.
And 10 days later, you're like, hey, I need that $5,000.
I need at least half of that back, dude.
Right.
I need my $2,500.
Right.
Yeah, it just
like you're coming outside the terms we agreed to.
Well, and to your point there, like you would have thought that you would have got an email or a phone call that said, "Hey, you owe 33. We're sending this out because of the reasons you just laid out." Right? You're on the carryover. You're spending more money. We're concerned.
Right.
But you have X amount of days to facilitate this or 7 days or hey, at your next billing cycle, all of that is going to be due in full or whatever. You can't demand it and then just shut someone's shit off who's playing by the rules.
Right.
Who's literally using every tool in their arsenal to do the right thing.
Yep.
To keep guys working.
Yep.
Keep money coming in and then just be like, nope.
Right.
Can't do that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's weird? From a company like Amex, like you wouldn't expect that.
No.
I wouldn't expect that from MasterCard, Visa, Blue Ridge Bank. Like you just, like those are huge financial institutions that have rules and regulations that they have to follow, that they want you to follow. And as long as everyone drives in their lanes, these types of things don't happen.
Right.
So it is weird that they've gone to that or had to go to that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very, like you said earlier, it's very interesting.
And then for it to happen twice in 4 days.
Yeah. Well, that's how you know it's algorithm, like literally it's computer program.
Well, and so I told them, I'm like, you're telling me your algorithm is smart enough to see this, but your algorithm isn't smart enough to look 4 days ahead and not think that you're going to have to do this again in 4 days? Like, I said, as hard to swallow as this whole situation is, I would have much rather that Monday email said 51 grand instead of getting this weird anomaly email demanding 33 grand and thinking, well, that was odd, but hey, we covered it and we're good.
Yeah. And then, or 51 at the next billing cycle, like
something.
Something.
But to get it, we pay it, and then to get it immediately again.
Yeah. Something, I'm telling you.
Some people might be hearing this and thinking, scam. We're not paying the people on the phone.
No, of course not.
I log into my Amex account and I make the payment direct. I don't want people thinking I got scammed for 51 grand here. It's not somebody calling out of the blue. It's not Habib.
Last
time we spoke, he was calling me about my car's extended warranty, and now he's calling me about my outstanding Amex balance
My
unpaid tolls.
Yeah, no, it was it was Dave and Joe copying Amex's website and then calling him.
Yeah,
and then
you spoofed their website.
Mitch just fucking paid me $43,000.
Right. Right.
You know what? That's a good idea.
I'm sure.
I mean,
those
it's fraud as fuck, but yeah.
I'm sure those scams are out there.
Man, I'm telling you what, scams. I don't want to change the subject, but Easy Pass, toll road going to Kansas.
Yeah.
So we got a bill in the mail
for
when we went skiing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was $8.91 or some bullshit. Janine pays it. Well, we never got one coming east.
Yeah.
I'd say they just missed our license plate, whatever. No big deal. Who cares? I'm not, but I start getting these texts. Janine starts getting these texts. I'm going online. I'm typing all this shit in, looking at it, blah, blah. That one almost got me.
Yeah.
That one, and I am super diligent at what I read.
Yeah.
You know, make sure all the English is perfect. If it's not perfect, you know.
Yep.
But man, it was close.
Yep.
It was close. These phishing scams are getting bad.
So the same thing happens with parking places.
Yeah.
You'll have people that own a parking lot, and they try to get you to pay to park there.
Yeah.
And this happened to me on one of my trips to Texas a year or two ago. There was a parking lot that apparently was a privately owned parking lot that you had to pay to park in. It had two entrances. The entrance that I went in had no signage indicating it was a paid-only lot.
I love it.
None. I pull into that entrance and I park. And they send me their security cameras, got my license plate or whatever, and they send me a bill in the mail. A collections bill for like $80. And
get bent, bro.
They were like, you didn't pay to park here. And so I call them and I'm like, I wasn't supposed to pay to park there. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a private lot. Clearly marked, you didn't pay. You got to scan the QR code and plug in your license plate and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's not there. And they're like, oh yeah, it's clearly marked. And I'm like, prove it. Well, you have to prove it. And I'm like, no. That's not how America works. Yeah. Innocent until proven guilty. Prove to me you have a sign on that entrance. And I'm in Kansas City at the time. This was in Dallas.
Did you go up there and snap a photo?
No, I went to Google Earth. And I drove down the street on Google Earth. And I'm like, motherfucker, there ain't even a sign to pull into this parking lot on Google Earth.
Taking screenshots.
Yeah. I'm like, this photo's freaking old.
Yeah.
And it's not even on there.
Yeah.
So, like, I ain't paying it. Well, you're going to go to collections. For what?
Send me.
You can't send me to collections for something I never legally, like, agreed to pay.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
That's the DirecTV thing. I think have I said this on the show? I don't know. So, we had DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
And this was during the whole Biden and all the bullshit, and they took Newsmax off of the TV and a couple other channels that I didn't really care about. But anyway, so they're sending me bills. I'm calling them. I'm like, hey, my channels aren't on here. I'm not paying this bill. And they're like, well, we credited you $2. We can credit you $2 per channel per the original agreement. I said, that's the only one I watch. I said, frankly, that's bullshit. I don't care if it's in the agreement. I'm not fucking paying it. Well, we're going to have to shut down your service. I said, shut it the fuck down.
Yeah.
I said, I don't give a shit. She's like, well, you still owe $230. I said, well, I ain't fucking paying it.
Yeah.
And there ain't no one that can make me pay it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, we'll send you to collections. I said, bitch, I got money. Send me to collections. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know me. I don't want to be a pompous asshole here, but we don't do credit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't. We don't care. Yeah. All right. I've been on collections for like 2.5 years. And so it like they'll call me and I'll tell them the same story. I'm like, no, those motherfuckers lied.
Yeah.
They didn't do what they said they were going to do. I'm not fucking paying them. Well, sir, this is going to hurt your credit. I said, bitch, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care. Ding my credit. I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't makes no difference to me. I got my fourth letter. And I don't mean fourth letter. My fourth different collection agency letter yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck you guys.
They just keep passing it on.
Oh, yeah, they just keep passing it on. Like, they're going to get, and now they're, well, we can settle it. So instead of 230, it's like 140 now.
Yeah.
Janine's like, what do you want to do with this? I was like, throw that motherfucker in the trash. I said, fuck you, man. I'm tired of everyone else expecting me to have integrity and do what I'm supposed to do. But when you can't back up what you're supposed to do,
right,
and then expect me to jump through hoops for you, fuck you.
Right.
Get bent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
$230. Lick my ass.
So one of the levers that you can pull in a business.
Not to get off topic.
Well, kind of. Speaking of, is like
financial leverage.
Don't pay your parts bill, right? And I'm not advocating for you to stiff the parts guy. But what I'm saying is, if you're in the habit of paying your parts bill every month or every week, or when you go on the counter, run it on credit for a minute. Your parts house has terms.
Yeah.
Right. And so if it's a matter of like missing paychecks or paying your parts bill, you take care of your guys and you let the parts bill ride.
Yeah.
Right. If it's a matter of missing paychecks or missing a vehicle payment, you're going to take care of your guys and you're going to miss the vehicle payment. Because guess what? You miss one vehicle payment. Now you're a payment behind. Big deal. You still have a vehicle. You miss one paycheck to your guys, they gone.
Yeah.
Right? Ain't nobody sticking around when the boss starts missing
Ain't
paychecks.
Ain't nobody sticking around. Yeah, right. You're right, dude.
And so there are levers inside your business that you can pull when cash flow gets tight. And cash flow will absolutely get tight if you're trying to grow your business and you're trying to perform at a high level. The easy way to ensure cash flow never gets tight is to never try very hard and to never try new things and to play it safe 24/7. But that's also the easiest way to mediocrity. And none of us
can be.
None of us listening to this show want mediocrity, right? We're, the whole reason we listen to this show, the whole reason David and I put on this show, the whole reason you started your business,
make money, baby,
was because you wanted above average results.
If you want average, just go back to work.
Right.
Just go back to work. And when you don't feel like going, don't go.
Right. And so there will be challenges. Other challenges can come in from like a contractor not paying you. Right.
Yeah.
We have a Tradewinds member right now.
Mm. Yep.
Contractor owes him $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that's the job he sold during the event.
I know.
So, you know, $50,000, the contractor's just stolen from him. And that's really what it is, because if yeah. we agree to terms, and terms are I do the work, and when I'm done with the work, you pay the bill. And if I've done the work and you haven't paid the bill, that is by law theft.
That is why we file liens on properties.
Yes.
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 Did you see the story of the plumber that returned to the restaurant after they didn't pay their bill and he dropped a test ball down their sewer and replugged their sewer?
Yes. Yes.
Until they paid the bill?
Yes.
And they called. Gold. Yeah, they called him up and they were like, "Hey, we're clogged again." And he was like, "I ain't coming out until you pay the bill." And so he pays the bill and he comes out and removes his test ball and he says, "This one's on me." So,
first off,
but he got paid.
That's illegal.
Is bullshit as it is. Yes,
yes,
you're right.
But good for him.
Right.
Fuck that restaurant. Pay your bills, motherfuckers.
Right. And so that's one of the challenges of being a business owner, and that's why business owners should and do make more money than non-business owners, is because as an employee, you work 40 hours, your employer is obligated by law to pay you.
Yeah.
And you can take their ass to court, and they will lose every time if they don't pay you.
Yep.
However, as a self-employed person, if I go work for any restaurant and they refuse to pay me,
yeah,
by law, they can refuse to pay me. And then I got to go through the whole court system. Yeah. And even if I get a judgment, it doesn't guarantee they're going to pay. They're not going to garnish the wages of the restaurant to pay my bill.
Yeah.
And so it's a larger amount of risk as the business owner.
Yeah.
And that's why if you're assuming all the risk, you get to make the extra money.
If that happens to you at a restaurant, I want to know about it, and I will just have a huge banquet party there, and I'll be like, "Yeah, it's on me." And then they're all going to leave, and I'm walking the fuck out.
There you go.
See ya.
Yeah.
Deuces.
Yep. Unfortunately, we had to do that at a restaurant recently.
Sir, kiss my ass.
We had the waitress come once for drinks, and we told her.
Where were you at? You got to tell me where you're at.
Believe it or not, this was Side Pockets here in town.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Side Pockets fucking sucks.
And so the waitress came once and gave us our drinks. And we told her, when you bring the drinks back, we want to order food. Well, like a table runner brought drinks.
Ah.
Couldn't order food from the table runner. Never saw the waitress again all night long. Not even running around on the floor. Not even in a position where we could flag her down.
She was probably going home.
She probably dipped and quit and left.
Yeah.
And like, we don't know.
That's funny as shit.
But it's like, we've been sitting here for an hour and a half. Our drinks are empty. Never got food. Never got to order food. Never got to order new drinks.
I love you. You sat there for an hour and a half.
We were playing darts.
Like, okay.
We weren't like sitting there mad waiting.
Get up and go.
Yeah. No, we were playing darts, but it's like, okay, if she hadn't stopped by in an hour and a half, like, we're just out. I've been trying to chase you down to give you more money. I'm not going to chase you down now to give you the money I owe you.
Yeah. It's two drinks. Who cares?
Yeah.
I can't believe you went there. That place sucks.
We go there quite a bit to play darts.
Do you
darts.
Really?
It's a fun place to play darts.
It's a place. I will say they have the best dartboards.
Captain's nice.
Has some. They suck.
They're nice dartboards. They're off in the back. They're out of the way. Most people are playing pool.
Yeah.
So I don't play the dartboards in the front.
Yeah, you play the ones in the back
the
corner.
Ones in the back. So.
Yeah.
But
wrap us up, Mitch.
Essentially, you will have cash flow pinch points when you're trying to grow a business. Get used to it. Get ready for it.
Yeah.
Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Yeah.
When I first opened my business, if I had to pay out $51,000 in 5 days,
you'd have shit yourself.
I would have shit my pants.
Yeah.
Right? But now, those are like warm-ups.
Yeah.
And so it changes your behavior and it makes you a better person, right? And it's truth to the motto that if you can't solve a $100 problem, you'll never be able to solve a $1,000 problem. Yeah. And if you can't solve a $1,000 problem, you'll never be able to solve a $10,000 problem. And if you can't solve a $10,000, like, it just keeps going.
Yeah. And that's why business growth is kind of slow, right? Because you naturally learn those things, and mm-hmm. that's how you evolve and get bigger. If it's one of those sticking points where you say you have a ton of anxiety and you don't like having debt over your head or whatever, just set some more money aside too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that big a deal to hold $20,000 extra dollars in your bank account before you start doing, you know, those types of things.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's not something that you cannot easily overcome.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you overcome it or prepare to overcome it.
Well, and like in this Amex situation, I don't want to say it was self-induced. We chose to short pay the bill.
It was self-induced, but they threw you a curveball.
Right. We chose to short pay it because cash is king.
Yeah.
If I paid the bill and then ran into a problem, now I have to dump personal money into the business to resolve the problem.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to leave the business in a financial position where it could solve its own problems and it could stand on its own two legs. Right. Yeah. And so I easily could have paid the bill and then just told myself, like, okay, I got to dump personal money in if we run into tight spots.
Yeah.
But I don't like the business.
You don't want
to
be
on its own. It needs to stand on its own. It needs to be independent of me.
Yeah.
Right. The business, if the business is only successful because I keep dumping cash into it,
it's not successful.
That's not successful. Failure. Right.
Yeah. That is the opposite of success.
Yeah.
It's sucking money.
That is every poor housewife in a multi-level marketing scheme that the husband has to keep dumping money into. We've all been there.
I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, you're right.
Color Street, Essential Oils.
Scentsy.
It Works Body Wraps, Mary yeah. Kay. Yeah. All of those things. The customer in all of those things is the independent agent. It's not the end user.
Yeah.
The customer is the independent agent. So
I didn't think you were going there with that, but that's good. You're right.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, dude.
So but if you guys have interesting challenges, cash flow challenges in your business, we want to hear about them. Our emails are at the bottom of the description of this show. You just click on the description. You'll see them in there. And shoot us an email about some interesting cash flow things that you got. Another thing that I want to hear from you guys on, if you have employees or if you've ever managed employees, I want to hear the worst call-out excuse you've ever gotten from an employee.
Like, I'm sick and shitting my guts out kind of call-out?
I'm going to give you mine. I'm going to lead with mine. And then I want the viewers and the listeners to give us theirs. So
is this recent?
Recent-ish. This is at my company.
2 weeks ago?
No.
Okay.
So
does
the
this
worst,
guy still work here?
No. God, okay. No. The worst call out I ever got was a guy that was trying to claim that he was becoming ill, severely ill, and he's paralyzed from the neck down. Can't move.
What?
And this was after not showing up all day and not responding and everything else. Okay.
Was this the guy you hired and was only here 4 days?
No.
You've got an array of losers. not that work now.
Yeah. No, right now we are more solid than we've ever been.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
But so this guy, it's in the afternoon on a Friday, and he was like, I'm been in the doctor all day. I'm paralyzed from the neck down. I got a disease of some kind. They're trying to figure it out. Can't feel my arms. Can't feel my feet. All this stuff.
We call
right?
that mushrooms. Took too many mushrooms.
4 hours later, he uploads his social media.
Oh shit!
Pictures of him dancing, hands in the air, partying it up at the bar district
oh,
downtown.
Oh man!
And you're gone.
And deuces.
Paralyzed from the neck down.
Deuces.
Yeah.
I've got a good one.
That's mine.
It's not a call out. But I'm not kidding you. This guy was working on a compressor, okay? Rotolock train compressor, okay? Like, you've got a pipe wrench. You don't cut it. You don't unbraise anything. Says he throws his back out. He's on the job. Throws his back out. He says, he texts this in. I've been laying outside in the pouring rain. I threw my back out. I can't get to the truck. I have to go home. You can't get to the truck. How are you going to go home?
Right.
Is like the response, right? So I call him. Hey, what are you doing? Okay, I got to the truck. I was able to crawl to the truck. I'm going home.
Dude, you just sent this text like 4 minutes ago.
Yeah. I was able to get to the truck. I'm going home. I'm there. Could someone go by and get my tools? Like, what do you mean? Someone goes over there. The only thing there's a wrench. He had somehow got all those tools into the truck.
Yeah.
Walked off of that job on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, come on, bro.
I had a guy. Now, this wasn't a call out.
Come on.
I used to work at a place where the policy was you are dispatchable until 4 o'clock.
I'd be so drunk.
And so a lot of guys would get to their 2 o'clock call. And it would be a very short call.
But they wouldn't tag out till 4:01.
They wouldn't tag out until 4:01, 4:10,
something
like that.
I'd have done
the
same shit, dude.
So this guy, this guy gets to his 2 o'clock call, and we're needing somebody to run a 4 o'clock call. So as I'm getting ready to call him to check on him to see if he's going to be able to run a 4 o'clock call, the customer called me.
The 4 o'clock or the 2 o'clock?
The 2 o'clock okay. Customer called me and said, hey, the plumber you had out here left like a whole sewer camera in my basement. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I'll call him and we'll get back there to pick it up. And they're like, okay, we're here all night. Cool. So then I call the guy. Keep in mind, for all intents and purposes,
He
doesn't know his camera's gone. He also doesn't know I just got a call from his 2 o'clock customer that said he left 45 minutes ago. And so I call him and I'm like, hey, how you coming on that job? And it's about 3:45 right now.
Yeah.
I said, how you coming on that job? He goes, oh, it's been a bear. I'm running the camera right now. I'll probably be here for another 30, 45 minutes. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting. Because your customer just called in and said you left 45 minutes ago and you left your sewer camera in their basement. And he knew he was caught.
Fuck,
and
Mitch.
He just said, I'm turning around. Always said. He knew it. He knew he was busted from day one.
Busted cold, baby. Yep. That's gold.
That's the same guy that used to fill out his invoices with voice to text. And
left his phone on when he was...
Dirty texting his girlfriend. And so his invoice got dirty girlfriend texts recorded into his invoice.
I love it.
Yeah. His invoice read something to the effect of, like, I arrived to find the shower clogged. I augered it and was able to free the clog. And if you'll just wait a little bit, I will get in the shower with you and we can shower together. And it was like totally merging the two texts. It's so funny.
Bitch, I'm going to wreck that ass when I get home.
Thankfully, we had a very understanding customer on that
one. Oh, my God.
So, but
girl,
yeah.
You don't even know what's about to happen.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's so good,
Can you imagine voice to texting like other things? Yeah, baby, I'm going to take out the trash. Oh, that's some dirty talk. I'm going to pay your mortgage. You know?
What is the matter with you?
People getting confused of like, what is this actually supposed to mean? Is this code for something?
Oh, God.
So,
inflection is everything.
So, yeah, if you guys have some funny call-out excuses, I want to hear them. So send us to them in an email. Our emails are in the description of the show. Until next time, guys, we will catch you later. See you.